soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Good afternoon. I was sitting in my bathtub, shampoo in my hair, and I was considering this make-believe world in which we gained an hour today. And we set the clocks back. Of course, time is an illusion, but anyway, I was considering that, and I was pondering to myself, and so I said, self, does this mean that there's enough time to make a second talk today? And I heard Peter in prison. So, of course, as I was shampooing my hair and about to rinse it out, I said, Peter in prison. What is Peter in prison? Let's see, doesn't it have something to do with an angel appearing and busting him out of prison? Well, of course, I got no response, which means go look it up. So I finished my bath and washing my hair and got out and dried off and came to the computer and went to the marvelous internet site Bible Gateway, and I looked up the passage of Peter in prison, which is Acts 12. And I considered it. What is this telling me? Now, we said in our last talk that when we lift ourselves up into the eye of our being, when we lift ourselves up into our true self, that eye, suddenly the scriptures make sense. Suddenly we see things we never saw before. And that has been an ongoing experience for some 35 years or more for me. I can almost pick up any scripture, and if I am lifted up into the eye, resting there, what the scripture has to say, what Christ is saying, is revealed. And I don't know exactly how it works. It's not a thinking process. It's kind of a resting and waiting process. And so I did that with this Acts 12. I haven't spent a lot of time with Acts. I just have maybe read them a couple of times. And all of a sudden, I could see. Whereas before I was blind, now I could see. And I'm going to read it to you, and you may catch it even before I say it, or perhaps you've known it all along. But let me share with you what I saw. And so we'll go here with Acts 12. Now, about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to four quatemians of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast thy cloak about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And that's as far as we'll read there. Verse 11. Now, let us take that into meditation and see what comes of it. Center yourself, listen, open the inner ear, and here we go. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So a quaternion, I looked it up, is four squads of four soldiers. So that's 16 soldiers. All right. In this first part, we are being told. Now, please bear in mind, any scripture that you read is talking about an internal experience, an experience in consciousness. Every scripture is discussing and telling you, when it was written by these people with awareness, it is telling you about an internal experience taking place within your consciousness. And Christ is speaking here and telling you that Herod the King, what world is Herod the king of? Well, obviously, the king of this world. So Herod would be the equivalent of world mind or universal belief. And universal belief gets a hold of Peter inside his consciousness and throws him in prison. It says Herod saw that it would please the Jews. In this case, we're talking about the everyday people. In this case, we're talking about it pleases the sense mind that Herod can throw Peter in prison. And so it pleases the mind that the world mind can keep Peter in prison. Keep him from dying and awakening to his Christhood. It pleases the human ego that the world mind can keep you in prison. And so it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, Peter, while he's in prison, is praying without ceasing. There's a part of him that is making a treatment. He's treating. He's trying to go through all the truth that he knows to get free. and he's making his declarations and affirming what he remembers of truth that the Master taught him, or maybe that he read in scriptures of his day. He's going over it in his mind, but he's not getting free. But he is, however, giving himself a treatment, praying without ceasing unto God. And so, when Herod would have brought him forth, that is, the world mind was, well, if he wasn't doing this praying without ceasing, the world mind would have brought him forth and executed him. So, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. This is marvelous. Isn't this marvelous? Between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So, now we have two soldiers, two chains. This is the belief in good and evil. Peter is sleeping. He's bound by the belief in good and evil. He's bound by the belief in a personal self, subject unto good and evil. And this is taking place in Peter's consciousness, and it's out picturing as Peter being in prison. But the prison is only the out picturing of the prison he's really in within his consciousness. Everything in your consciousness out pictures. And it's no different in Peter's case, no different in my case, no different in Christ Jesus' case. And so, Peter is bound with two chains between two soldiers, and that is the belief in duality. Here's little Peter, and God is somewhere, if only he could reach him. But he's doing the right thing, he's having his treatment. He's going through the experience of remembering truth. And then at some point, he stops. He just becomes still. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. Ah, now we see, don't we? Yes, we do. In his knowing the truth, he became quiet. He became still in that prison, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. He was visited by the light. He had an internal realization. Suddenly, he had a realization of the truth. Not just knowing the truth, the treatment was over. Now, in the silence, the truth was revealing itself to him. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in his prison. And he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, "Arise, up, quickly." You see? That truth within Peter, that presence, lifted him up, and his chains fell off from his hands. Now it's become an inner realization in Peter's consciousness that there is only one self, and that self is God. And suddenly his chains fell off from his hands. They just fell off from his hands because he wasn't really bound. He thought he was bound. But in his meditation, in his inner realization, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and raised him up, and the chains fell off from his hands. And now he hears that inner voice, "Peter." And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy cloak about thee and follow me." And so this is the Spirit of God saying, put the cloak of Christhood around you. You are the living Christ, and follow me. This inner realization that that is who you are, that you are I, the very presence of God. And so what does Peter do? He went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. So you see, he wasn't even sure. Is this really an inner realization? I don't know, but I'm going to follow this voice. this voice that is telling me that I can wrap Christhood about me and follow. When they were past the first and the second ward, you see, they're passing the belief in duality, they came onto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city. Now the iron gate blocking you from the city is the belief that you have a personal self named Peter or Paul or David or Michael or Dorothy or Dennis or Kay or Kim or Kathy or Yvonne or Mark. And so in this case, Peter is the iron gate. And he's having this internal realization to wrap his Christhood around him and follow that realization, that light. And he comes to this gate that leadeth unto the city. Now the city is consciousness. City always means consciousness. And so a city set on a hill is a high state of consciousness. And this city is the realization of the consciousness of his true identity. And he's trying to follow this inner realization, but there's an iron gate there, a personal sense of self, in the way of finding that city. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. You see, the realization opened the gate. The gate opened of its own accord. It was the realization that melted. When God speaks, the earth melts. When you have the inner realization that you are not this personal sense of self, but you are the I, that wonderful, infinite, invisible presence itself, then the gate opens of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Now, he feels that the angel has departed from him, the realization, but it hasn't departed from him, it has become him. And that's why it says, and when Peter was come to himself, because the realization has become himself. He said, now I know of a surety. Yes, now he knows for sure. This is who I am, that the Lord hath sent his angel, his realization, and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod, the world mind, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just fantastic? And there it was the whole time, and I had never really read it, never thought much about it. But in the middle of shampooing my hair and wondering if there was time to make another talk, well, the angel of the Lord came unto me and said, yes, yes there is. You need to talk about Peter in prison. To which the human being said, what do you mean? I don't know anything about that. But that inner voice said, I do. I know. Now you go and look it up. And so I went and I looked it up, and here Christ revealed to all of us that Peter was having an inner realization, that he was bound by two chains, the belief in good and evil. It looked like he was through, down for the count. But nevertheless, he prayed, he treated, he knew all the truth he could know with his mind. And in the silence, after he was finished, in the silence and in the stillness, the realization came. The voice within spoke and said, cloak yourself with your Christhood. And so he did. He did it. He obeyed and he followed. And the gate opened by itself, and he found himself in the city. That is the state of consciousness. That realization became Peter's consciousness. Is that not just marvelous? Wonderful. And so, that I of me speaks to the I of you, And this second talk is about that inner realization. And so the next thing that comes to me is to read from Lifting Up the Eye, which is exactly what we're talking about and what Peter did. Once we can realize ourselves as I, separate and apart from personality, separate and apart from a physical body, as I, the incorporeal spiritual I, we will have the secret of the eternality and immortality of life, without beginning, without birth, without ending, without death. Since the I that God is and the I that we are one, we can understand that the infinite perfection of God is the infinite perfection of our being. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. This is what Peter did. Now, Peter did this in the prison. And so whatever prison you find yourself in, whether it is a prison of lack, disease, limitation, a prison of age, a prison of karmic law, a prison of belief, a prison of duality, a prison of the belief in good and evil, whatever prison you find yourself in, you can have this realization. In the midst of the prison, in the midst of that prison, if you will do this, God will speak the word that will set you free, and the gate will open on His own accord. All that I have means all the immortality, spirituality, integrity, all the life, all the perfection, all the holiness of God. Do you see that you, in your true identity, you, as the Christed One of God, have all the holiness of God? All that is of God is of you and of me, because the I of you and of me and the I of God are one and the same I. And all the qualities of God are the qualities of spiritual, eternal, immortal man, of you and of me. This is the premise in healing work. And if we want to heal, we must first of all remind ourselves of this truth. And this is what Peter was doing in prison, praying without ceasing, reminding himself of this truth, to get to the place of stillness where he could hear the angel of the Lord. We must be conscious of the truth that the I of you and of me and the I of God are one. It's a conscious thing. Peter was doing this consciously. It can't be just something that you read about or something you ponder once in a while. It must be a conscious activity going on in your consciousness, a praying without ceasing. We must be conscious of the truth that the I of you and of me and the I of God are one, and all that constitutes the I of God constitutes the I of you and of me. For we are forever one with the Father. All that is of God is ours. All the immortality, eternality, spiritual perfection, harmony, peace, justice, and infinity. Now, we start out just exactly like Peter. We're in our own prison. That is the belief in a personal sense of self. Here is Bill, and then there's God somewhere out there. There's this infinite God, and there's Bill. And so that's a prison, and Bill can experience all sorts of bad things and all sorts of good things. But through it all, there's Bill and there's God. There's God and there's Bill. And that's where we start. That's prison. We have been placed in prison by Herod, that is, by the world mind that has hypnotized us into seeing the world and ourselves that way. But someone comes along and says to us, hey, wake up. There's another way. There's another universe. There's another self. We ponder that. Could that be true? Could it really, really be true? I have suspected this, but could it be true? And so we study truth. And we still find ourselves in our prison of a personal sense of self, so we go a little deeper. And now we learn what it is to give ourselves a treatment. And we realize that we sit down to contemplate, and we rehearse with ourselves the truth that we remember. It could be I and the Father are one, or the Father within me, He doeth the works, or I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we're getting a little closer, but we're still in chains, just as Peter was. And suddenly we get to the end of our contemplation. We have rehearsed, we have repeated within ourselves silently all the truth that we know. Yes, I and my Father are one. All that the Father has is mine. God is, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And now we come to an end to that, as Peter did, and we are silent. There's nothing left to know. We wait. And a voice within us says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And suddenly, what we were knowing with the mind becomes an inner realization. Wait a minute. I. And we hear, I am that I am. And it stops. We stop again, and suddenly there's a dawning. I am that I am. I am the I am. I am I am. And yes, it comes back to us. I am. I am the only I. And okay, now we have the inner realization. There's a feeling that goes with it. There's a quickening. There's an inner depth to this. It may leave us in kind of a shock. Our mouth may pop open. My God, I am. We have had the inner realization. It is no longer a treatment. The angel of the Lord has visited us and shined a light in our prison. My God, I am. I am, I am. Now, the gate that was fastly secured opens of himself. The gate that we were trapped in for century after century, believing we were a limited human being, it opens. And there beyond it is the city. But we are not yet ready. We're not yet ready. No. That inner realization says we must wrap ourselves with the cloak of our Christhood. We dwell with that a little longer? Yes. Yes, I must live with this truth. I must practice, remember. I must remember not to forget and forget not to remember. I am the living Christ. Christ is I. And as that realization deepens and we follow it day after day, the door has opened and we walk out and walk into the city, the new state of Christ consciousness, which is now our consciousness, because that inner realization has become us. We are that inner realization. And now we know I am that I am. But we know it because it is living us. When I tell you that in the middle of shampooing my hair, I heard a voice that said, "Peter, in prison, who do you think I am referring to?" I am referring to that I of me, which is the I of you, the I of you that is declaring this to you right now. If you are understanding this, you are getting this, you are feeling this, that is the I of you speaking to you. But it can speak through my lips, or it can speak through your mind. It can speak through a tree. It can speak through an animal. It can speak through the universe when you recognize that I am the only universe. And so, taking the simple story of Peter in prison, we have come out the other side now to where we are resting in I am that I am. The only prison that there has ever been the prison of the belief in good and evil, the two chains on Peter's arms. The only prison is the belief in somebody that's a person, a personal sense of identity. And the only freedom that you will ever find is not freedom. You cannot find freedom from listening to a talk. You cannot find freedom from reading a book. You cannot find freedom from going to spiritual meetings. The only freedom you can ever find is the freedom in Christ. Do we understand that now, what Joel was telling us when he said, there is no freedom from, there is only freedom in Christ consciousness. The only freedom you will ever find is the freedom that comes to you in the very midst of your prison, when you know all the truth you can remember, and then become still enough so that the angel of the Lord is upon you, or the presence of God is upon you, or the voice is upon you. That is when freedom becomes yours. That is when freedom becomes you. Because the inner realization becomes bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. The inner realization of Christ, well, Christ becomes you, doesn't it? Now, our job is to lift up the I within us. If I be lifted up, will draw all man unto me. And that means all manifestation. If you lift up the I, will draw your entire being onto its level, which is the city set on a hill, which is a high state of consciousness, which is New Jerusalem, or the new city, the new state of consciousness. This is our job, to lift up the I. And in the last talk, the mystical I, we put forth the only exercise that the Infinite Way has. And that exercise is to help you to lift up the I and to dwell in it. That is where we receive the truth that sets us free. We are to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. But this knowing of the truth is not something that takes place as you rehearse it in your mind. That's not the type of knowing that sets you free. Otherwise, we would all be free from everything already. So there's a different kind of knowing that's required here. And that is the knowing that takes place when you are lifted up into the I and you hear it reveal the truth. Then there's an inner knowing. And the truth becomes you. It becomes your consciousness, which then draws your manifested experience onto it and transforms you. You see that? One little story in Acts 12, and we have the whole purpose of our existence here. We have the entire Infinite Way in one story of Acts. And that story was written by someone that was lifted up into the I. That is why that story and an understanding of it and a practice of it can set you free. That was the voice that said, "My words will never pass away." That was the voice of I. But that is the voice of I now, because I is not a past tense. I is forever and always now. And so the I that wrote that story is the I that revealed it to me and the I that is revealing it to you. There is but one I. Infinite, incorporeal, omnipresent I. Individualized in an infinite number of ways. Yet still, only one I. And that I gave us the secret. In so many of these scriptures, over and over, that I gives us the secret to our freedom. Here is another. Abide in me, and let my word abide in you. So shall you be my disciples. So shall you bear fruit richly. In other words, so will you find your freedom. And so we are told to abide in that I and allow that I's word to dwell in us. And this we do by lifting ourselves up into the I and resting there until we hear the word. And the word, of course, is not like words. The word is that inner experience that gives you realization. An inner click, an inner aha, I see. That is the word. And that is what sets you free. Over and over and over, we are given the same directions. Follow me. I will lift you up. Come unto me. And Peter obeys. He wraps his cloak of Christhood around himself, walks out of the prison, and finds himself free in that new state of consciousness. And so now I speak to you, each of you individually. Will you follow me out of your prison? Or will you continue to sleep chained there on the floor of a personal sense of existence, a personal sense of the universe? It is the Lord, and the Lord says, awake, rise up, and follow me. It is no different today. That same voice is speaking to you now. If you hear me, you shall be free forever. Follow me. And the gate opened of his own accord. Don't you worry about the prison. Don't work on the chains. Don't work on the gate. Don't work on the guards, the soldiers. Don't work on any of that. Don't work on the disease. Don't work on the lack. Don't work on the limitation. Don't work on the appearance. Don't work on the world mind. Don't work on the hypnotism. Stop working in the dream. You're only given one order to follow, one command. Awake, rise up, wrap your cloak of Christhood around you, and follow me into the new city. And the gate opened of his own accord. Is this not wonderful? I am left with a thank you, Father. Thank you for revealing not only Peter in prison, but all of our freedom, all of our Christhood, and our new Jerusalem, our new consciousness. To you that hear, you can do nothing but smile and be joyous and glad and free. Yes, there was another talk today, and I am feeling now like it was the better talk of the two. Oh, my friends, please listen to your own inner self as it calls you up higher and higher into your Christhood. Thank you so very much for listening, and have a joyous day and life.